listen to it on the record.
Where did you park at that one?
No, I'm double parked right now. I was going to park next to you, but there's no room.
Actually, we can pull it down. I'm going to leave you a message. My car can be pulled down.
Sure. The whole I'm already driving mom.
Yeah. So pull my car down and just drive behind me.
Yes.
Last week we learned till the bottom of Kuf Aleph on the base. If you know that a person is extremely reliable, that's called Kimli Digave Milsahi, Mark Suvis has it. So to what extent can you rely on what he says? If you have a real Din Torah, and you need two kosher aidim, so the Gemara says it doesn't help, but Moshe V'Aaron come. We know that Moshe V'Aaron are telling the truth. The Halacha says you have to have two kosher aidim. So Mamas and Nefashis and Dosha B'Yerva doesn't help Kimli Digave. It's not better than Moshe V'Aaron. So when does it help? So the Gemara says, so we discussed a little bit what that means. Okay. Then the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph we covered already a few weeks ago. We're on the seventh line, the eighth line, I don't know. Amar Rabba Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav. The line begins with the word Rav Kana. Amar Rabba Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav. In Yove Eliyahu, the two versions over here of what Rav Kana said in the name of Rav. Rabbi and Rav Yosef both learned by Rav Kana. So Rav Kana said, oh, there's something in the name Rabbi, two versions. So the first version is, Rashi translates, based on the Gemara later, that the Chalitza shoe, it says, Nechumash Bechotzen Na'alo. So Na'al has to be made from leather. If a pair of sneakers is not acceptable, even though it protects, even though the sneakers, if you have wooden shoes, so that's a machloekes satanaim. So we paskin only leather shoes, based on the pasuk in Yecheskel that describe Yitzias Mitzrayim is like Bnei Yisrael was born as a nation. So the Baruch Shalom delivered the baby. He created Klal Yisrael. And you wash off the baby, and then you put on powder on the baby, then you put a diaper on the baby, then you put on clothing, then you put on shichalach. So it says, Benolach tochash. I put on shoes from tachash leather. Tachash was an animal in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, or is tchoshim for the Mishkan. So the Gemara learns after that pasuk that na'al, by definition, has to be leather. That's how we paskin. If it's not megin, let's say you're going to take the Yavam is going to take off the socks, the sock from the right foot of the Yavam. So the sock is not Megan, that for sure is no good. But if he's wearing sneakers, he's wearing a sneaker on the right foot, or he's wearing a wooden shoe, some other material that is Megan, it does protect the foot, but it's not leather, so that's going to be a Machlekes Satanaim. And most of the Rishonim paskan that it has to be leather. So there's hard leather and there's soft leather. Our shoes are hard leather. They treat the leather in such a way that it's stiff. And then sometimes you have very soft leather that you can bend it easily. So that's what Rashi translates over here. The manol is soft leather, and the sandal is hard leather. Minatoira does make a difference. Now, based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, manolach tochash. So if it's ta'or tochash, it's good. If it's leather, it's acceptable. But the Rabbanan, there's a shayla of Exer, the Rabbanan here. So the Gemara is going to explain. So the first version was, is Rabba Amar Rabba Amar Rav Kana Amar Rav. He heard, he claims that he heard from Rav Kana name of Rav. And Yov Eliyov Yom Rav Eliyov, another will come to reverse the din. And they'll say, Cholzin and Manol, that it's permissible, L'chatchila, to use even soft leather. It means until Eliyov Novi comes, it's assumed that L'chatchila, it's not proper to use soft leather, for some reason or another. Eliyahu Navi will come and say that you don't need this Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Shamila, we'll listen to him. Because the whole deal is only Lechatchila. Is there a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan Lechatchila? Eliyahu Navi will come and he'll say, B'toris Tam HaChachm, B'toris Navi. A Navi comes, you don't... Loi B'Shamayim He. A Navi is going to come and say, P'sak HaLochi, you don't listen. He's going to say, it doesn't make sense. He'll say, it's a Tam HaChachm. Eliyahu Navi comes, it's a Tam HaChachm. It doesn't make sense to have Gzeirah D'Rabbanan not to use soft leather. So we'll listen to him. However, if he'll say in chotzim and sandal, if he'll say not allowed to use a shoe that's made from stiff hard leather, ain't shanelo. Why won't be? Why? If he tells us he thinks the din is it? No. Shikranah go on the sandal. Since the minig all over is that we use shoes that are made from hard leather for chalitza, so even if Eliyahu Navi comes, we're not going to listen. He can't. You can't reverse the psak. It's already ongerum and that's Taloch. The Rambam has the Rambam mentions this in one place in Hilchas Shmita B'Yovel. The Rambam has a machlokes with the Gaonim. Usually the Rambam doesn't quote any machlokes. The machlokes Hatanaim and the machlokes Amoraim and Shadus and Gaonim. Usually the Rambam just gives you one psak and shay. And every so often the Rambam will quote the machlokes and he'll tell you what his opinion is. So the Rambam had a machlokes with the Gaonim. The Gemara says every 7th year is a Shemitah, and after 49 years you have Yovel. So the Yovel is the 50th year. So is the 50th year the Yovel year? Is that a blank year? You count 50 in the Olam Void, and the 50th year is a blank year. Doesn't belong to the next unit of 7 years. Or do you say, no, you count 7 the Olam Void, and the Yovel year is the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So the first year you can't do Avodas HaKarka because it's Yovel, and the 7th year you can't do Avodas HaKarka. So that Shemitah, that unit of 7 years, you can only do Avodas HaKarka on the middle 5 years. First year you can't do because it's Yovel, and the last year is Shemitah. So that was the Machlokes HaTanoim. So the Psak Halach is that Shnas HaYovel is a blank year. So ever since the days of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we count 7 Le'olam Vod. We don't count the Yovel as a blank year. So the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim that's their practice. The Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, they say that's it. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you count 7. You don't count 50. The Rambam says it doesn't make any sense. If you would ask me, I would paskin that Yovel is a blank year because it's a machlekes hatanoim, and that's how we paskin. Yovel is a blank year. But he says, since the Gaonim lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, since the Gaonim lived in Eretz Yisrael, they observed Shemitah, and they didn't push off, they didn't count Yovel as a blank year. So he says, we have to follow the Gaonim, even though I hold that it doesn't make any sense. He says, because the minig, it doesn't mean a custom, minig means the practice, by Talmid HaChacham V'Rabbanim is kaveh what the Psak Halach is. So the Rambam thinks that even though he thinks it does make sense, we have to follow the Gaonim. The other happens to be a Hasagas HaRavid. The Ravid says, no, we should follow the Rambam. So Rav Soloveitchik said, to the best of his knowledge, this is the only place where there's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says, you should not paskin like the Rambam. And the Ravid is masik, no, you have to paskin like the Rambam. He doesn't remember any other place like that. So that's why whenever you get a calendar, so it always says, Tavshinayin Tes, and it tells you whatever it is, third year of the Shemitah cycle, according to the Shitas HaGaonim. The Gaonim who said that he counts 7 after the Churban HaBayit, he don't count 50. Because according to the Rambam, everything is going to be different. Every 50th year, every after 49 years, he's going to have a blank year. He counts 50, he don't count 7. So that's based on his Gemara. That the Gemara says, Afiliyov Eliyov V'Yomar. Even if Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he'll want to reverse the psak and say, En Cholzim V'Sando, you're not allowed to use hard leather for some reason or another. In Shamalo, he won't listen to Eliyahu HaNavi. He wants to reverse the psak. That was the psak HaMekubo. That tachash has to be leather, and leather, hard leather is acceptable. No, we're not going to accept anyone who's going to reverse. That's the psak HaMekubo. I remember when I first got married and I moved into Washington Heights. So there was, I don't know who it is. There was a boy from Breuer's who was a kohen who wanted to go to medical school. So Rabbi Schwab was the assistant rabbi at that time. Rabbi Breuer was getting old. And Rabbi Schwab was the assistant rabbi. So he told the boy, a kohen is not allowed to go to medical school because you have to be metame lemeisim. So the boy said he has some kind of a heter. He's not going to listen to Rabbi Schwab. Rabbi Schwab felt very bad. It's in violation of the din. So he asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Moshe said, you're not allowed to go to medical school. A kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeisim. So he asked Rabbi Moshe, could he write him a tshuva to that effect? Because there's a boy in the neighborhood who wants to. So I remember they sent out a Xerox copy of Rav Moshe's tshuva to everybody who was a dues-paying member of Breuer's. So everybody got that tshuva. And then it was later printed in the Igris Moshe. So he writes in the tshuva, even if some Talmid Chacham will come up with some kind of a kula, why a kohen is allowed to go to medical school, we won't accept it, because that's a psak hamakubal all over. Everybody knows that the kohen is no heta. The kohen to be mitam el meisim, unless pikuach nefesh, the hatzala people, a different thing. But no heta to go to medical school.
And if the kohen went to medical school.
I remember when they asked Rav Soloveitchik, they had some hamtzah. So he said also such a lashon, said it would be bizayin hatorah to come up with a heta for such a thing. It's on the numen that kohenim are not allowed to be mitam el meisim, even in medical school. It's not permissible. So it was based on Rav Moshe's tshuva, was based on this gemara. Whenever you have a psak hamakubal here, it's a psak lehokel. You use a sandal, you use hard leather for the shoe. And thereby the kohenim, that's a psak hamakubal lehachner. Kohenim should not be mitam. So again, so there are two versions here, Rab and Rav Yosef, two versions of what did they hear from Rav Kana in the name of Rav. So the second half is the same. If Eliyahu Navi will come and say, you can't use hard leather, ain't shalom lash kohen, I'll go on the sandal. That's the same. The difference between Rab and Rav Yosef is the first half. Until Eliyahu Navi comes, what is it, the accepted opinion? So the first version is, if Eliyahu Navi will come and want to change the din and say it's permissible to use soft leather, will listen, but until he comes, the practice is we don't use soft leather. And the second version is faket, until Eliyahu Navi comes, we do use soft leather. If Eliyahu Navi will come and say he thinks we should make Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, en chotzim emanel shamala, will listen to him if he wants to change it. My benai, what's the difference between the second half of what they quoted? The name of Rav Kana, the name of Rav is identical. If Eliyahu Navi will come and say that you can't use hard leather, we won't accept it because psak hamakuba like that. That's the accepted psak. The difference is the first hit. My benai, benai, manol lechatchila. Is it improper lechatchila to use a manol? But the evidence for sure it's good. The machloika says, is it improper lechatchila? Sfeg the Gemara, how can there be such an opinion? Ulaman the Amar, according to that version, that until Eliyahu Navi comes, the practice will be that we do use soft leather shoes, also good. Soft leather, hard leather, it's all okay. Ulaman the Amar, filo lachatchila. How can they say it's good lachatchila? But the Mishnah has a loshen. Chotzim emana chalisosik shera. It sounds like b'diyevet. B'diyevet en lachatchila lo. Doesn't it imply from the loshen of Mishnah that a manol means the soft leather is only good for the evidence l'chatchila you should use after hard leather? The Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah really means u'adin afil l'chatchila. Can't really prove in the Lashon HaMishnah. Maybe it's even mutter l'chatchila to use soft leather. So why does the Mishnah write b'di evidence? Cholz of the manol chalitzos k'shev b'di evidence. And for the Gemara, perhaps, I did the boy l'mishnah sefer. Agav, the next line in the Mishnah says, if cholz of the anpilya, if she took off the sock from the right shoe, if she took, let's say, kilts, the Irish wear kilts. So what's kilts? It's just plain cloth. It's not really megan. So if she takes off chalitza banpilya, chalitzos absolutely, even b'diavad, it's no good. The afila b'diavad, it's also no good. That for sure is not called now. Has to be needed to megan. If it is Megan, but it's not leather, that's a machlokes hataam. If you have wooden shoes, if you have sneakers, it is Megan. But Anpilya is not even good b'diavad. So maybe, therefore, Taranami Reisha b'diavad. Maybe that's why it says in the Mishnah, Cholza b'manol, Chalitzosik Sher, it sounds like it's only good b'diavad. Maybe it's really good l'chatchila also. But we use the Loshen b'diavad because we wanted to say that Anpilya is not, Anpilya's cloth, socks, is not even good b'diavad. So what's Taka the Din? This machloik is the two versions. Rab and Rav Yosef had two versions. They both learned by Rav Kana or Rav. Both learned by Rav Kana. And he said, over from Rav. So which is the correct statement? Is there such a din that chatchil or not? So the Gemara says, there happens to be a machlok is tatanoim. These two versions, Rav and Rav Yosef, a mangal, a chatchil or tanoim, happens to be a machlok is tatanoim. The Tanya, we have the following. What does it say? It's a Tosefta. So they quote that Tana, Om Rav Yosef, Pamachas halachti lenitzivin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir lived in Etzivin. Etzivin is somewhere in Chutzlortz. That's the famous Gemara, beginning of Sochem, tells a story that there was a non-Jew, a Nochri, who was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir that he fools the rabbis. Every year he goes to Yerushalayim Erev Pesach and he buys a share in the Korban Pesach, and it says in the Chumash, Kol Benecha Le'yachod Bo, and he fools them every year. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir said, nah, they know that you're not Jewish. Did they ever give you the aliyah, the tail, the fatty tail? He says, no. So he says, because they know that you're a goy. If you would have been Jewish, you would have once gotten the aliyah. So the next time he went to Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, he said, he wants the fatty tail. So he said, what are you, crazy? Fatty tail would burn on the Mizbeach. No. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir told me I should ask for the fatty tail. So they investigated, they found out that he was a goy. That's why he lived in Martosah. He lived in it, even far away from Yerushalayim. And he set a trap, so many miles away, he set a trap to catch the goy, that they should know not to give him the Korban Pesach. They wrote him a letter, you live in Etzivan, so far away from Yerushalayim, but you set a metzudi, you set a trap for the Nochri, they caught him so many miles away. So Rabbi Yossi says, I once visited the city in Etzivan. That's where Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir used to live. Matzos is Zokanech, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir apparently passed away years ago. So he meets an old man and he said, oh, did you ever meet Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir who passed away, whatever, 40 years ago? Zokta, yeah, I knew him well. Klum atabaki, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir, Zokta, hey, yes, al shulchani hu tadir. Yeah, he used to eat by me a lot. Klum reisa, did you ever see a chalitza? Shecholatz vivam, did you ever see him do a chalitza? Zokta, yeah, many times. Reisa, shecholatz harbet panam. Many times he saw Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir did chalitz. Affected the manola besandol. Did he use a shoe that was soft leather? Did he use a shoe hard leather? So the Zokin says, what are you talking? Soft leather? Who uses soft leather shoes for chalitz? Everybody uses hard leather. Omali, so the Zokin told the Tana Rabbi Yossi, b'chicholtzim and manol. Nobody uses soft leather. The din is you have to use hard leather. Amati loy, so I said to him, Imkain, you tell me that nobody uses soft leather. This Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. So the Mishnah says over here that if you did chalitza with soft leather, it is good. So you're so convinced, the old man is so convinced, who in his right mind ever uses soft leather? But Reb Meir says that is good, but he have it. Rabbi Yankov, I'm a Mishmar. Rabbi Yankov says in the name of Reb Meir differently. Not only Reb Meir holds a b'di evit, it's good. It's even good l'chatchila. So you see beferish that it's a machleika satanoim. Is there any problem l'chatchila? But the evid we assume certainly is good. If you use a shoe that's made from soft leather, and machlek zali is there an issue l'chatchila? And what is the issue? Pray tell, what is the issue? What's the problem? Man yom l'chatchila on my time, what's the problem? So the Gemara says, maybe first the Gemara didn't realize the real reason. So they thought, it's based on the pasuk, it says, v'cholza nala me'al ragloi. So they thought maybe because of the way the soft leather shoe is constructed, like by us, we have shoes. So you have leather covers the top of the foot and the sides of the foot, and then you have the ears. What do you call it? The ears of the sole. That's on the bottom. What do you have on top? On the right side, the left side? The flaps. So the Gemara thought maybe because when you tie the shoelace on top of the flaps, so the shoelace is not touching the foot, the flaps on the leather on either side, you have the tongue, and then you have the two flaps on top of the tongue. So maybe the reason why it's not acceptable is because it says, Chol tzanala me'al ragloi, she has to take the shoe off by untying the knot on top of the foot. Here it's me'al de me'al. Here the knot is on top of the flaps, which is on top of the tongue, which is on top of the foot. So maybe that's why it's no good. So the Gemara said, that's why it's no good? So it should be no good b'di'evit also? Why is it only l'chatchila no good? Should be possible even b'di'evit? So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Well, man the yama, the line begins with the word man the yama. Man the yama l'chatchil aloy. One says l'chatchil you shouldn't, but b'di'ebed it's good. My timer, what's wrong l'chatchil? What's the problem if it's made from soft like the e-lem? Or if you should say shum davi pansa me'al, because the tongue with the flaps is on top of the foot. For arkasa de misana adu shoelaces. The Gemara says, you heard by Yavar, if the Goyim wear different color shoelaces and they want the Jews to wear Goyish color shoelaces. It's preetzes. So it's you heard by Yavar. So arkasa is the shoe straps. The shoes, you have to have the straps also. We have shoelaces, but for the chalitza shoe, it's shoe straps. It looks just like ritzuas of tefillin. It's black on one side, and the other side is not painted black. Just like ritzuas of tefillin. And the Gemara says, because Avraham Avinu made a Kiddush Hashem and he refused to take Michut V'atzrech Na'al, so because he made a Kiddush Hashem not to take anything, so because he said not going to take Chut, so his descendants, the Jewish people, were Zeicha to Chut Tzitzis. And because he didn't want to take Tzrech Na'al, we were Zeicha to Ritzuas of Tzitzis. Because the shoe straps and the Chalitza shoe are exactly the same as the Ritzuas of Tzitzis. So that we were given the Ritzuas of Tefillin as a reward for Avraham Avinu's doing a Kiddush Hashem.
And the other Tefillin's in the black and black. They're marked by who?
Now they make, they dye it black all the way through and through, yeah. But until a few years ago, it was always painted black on one side, the other side was white. So that's the Ritzuah of the shoe strap of the Chalitza shoe. It's mamish the same. It's all black on one side. The other side is white. So the Gemara said, if the reason why l'chatchila you shouldn't use a mano is because you have the tongue and you have the flaps, and then they're not, the shoe strap yet tie it down, it's not really touching the foot anymore. It's two chatzitzes in between. So if the Gemara, then she'd be no good b'di'evet also. Ihochi afilu b'di'evet namiloi. So the Gemara says, it cannot be, it's a real chisar in their eyes. Why is it a problem? There is a din mi'al, the mi'al is no good. There is such a din. That's why we insist that the Yavam shouldn't wear socks when he puts the chalitza shoe on. Because if he's going to have socks, then the sock is a dava mapsi. But the tongue of the shoe is attached and the flaps are attached. Everything is attached to the shoe, so it's all the same shoe. So that's not a problem, mi'al, the mi'al. But we insist that he shouldn't wear a sock. And then we tell him he should wash his foot. The morning that you want to have chalitza, you should wash the foot, shouldn't be any dirt. Shouldn't be a chatzitza, just like when you put on tefillin. The Gemara has in the second parak in Menachos, the Gemara has, when you wear big dekuna, so you can't have any chatzitza in between the big dekuna and the body. Then in Shulchan Aruch, they have all the dinim of chatzitza by tefillin, is all based on that sugya, by chatzitza, by big dekuna. All the dinim are just taken from big dekuna. So here also, we say there is a din mi'al de mi'al. There is a problem. And we tell the other, he should wash his foot so there shouldn't be any dirt on the feet. That's a very chumr. Shouldn't be any dirt, because if there's dirt, it'll be a chatzitza and it's going to be mi'al de mi'al. So the Gemara says, if the reason why the soft leather is no good, because the way the shoe is constructed and the knot with the shoe straps is not touching the foot, so I feel a bit of it, now it should be no good. The Gemara says, no, that's not why. It's a gzeirah. It's only the lechatchila is not allowed. It's a gzeirah. The rabban mishum manal merupat. If you have a shoe, it only has a din of a nal if it's chayfer roif haregel. So it has to cover the bottom of the foot. It has to cover the top and the sides. It has to cover roif of the foot. So if you're gonna have a shoe that's made from hard leather, and part of the hard leather was ripped out, the shoes are worn out, it's going to be missing, and it's not chayfer roiv haregel, so he's probably not going to wear it, because the hard leather is going to have a jagged edge and it's going to stick into his foot. But the soft leather bends, even if he can't afford it. He has an old pair of shoes, and it's falling apart, doesn't really cover roiv haregel, pidin is not called a shoe. The guy made by mistake, use such a shoe for chalitza, it's not acceptable. So they made a gzeri. You're not allowed to use a chalitza. You're not allowed to use a chalitza shoe that's made from soft leather. A gzeri mishum manal hamarupa. It may be torn, and may be missing. It may not have roif haregel covered, In Amim Shem Chatzimano, you have the manufactured shoes that are only don't cover Roy Varega. In different generations, they manufacture different styles, and they may manufacture shoes that don't cover so much of the foot, so then it's no good. So if it's soft leather, it's possible that a person will be wearing such a shoe. If it's hard leather, no one's going to wear such a shoe. So that's why it's only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and it's not a Din D'Oraisa. So Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is only L'chatchila. That's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Is there two versions, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? Is there even a Din L'chatchila that you shouldn't use soft leather? Okay. So the mice that we use a chalitza shoe. The chalitza shoe has to fit the yavam. Some people have big feet, some people have smaller feet. So we have one size shoe that fits everybody. So how can it be? The bezin always has a chalitza shoe. How does it? So the answer is they make it big enough to take care of even people who have a gigantic foot. But then they tie the shoe straps on top in case you have a very small foot and the shoe is going to fall off, so it's no good. So you tie it up on top with the shoe straps. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav was a nephew of Rav Priya. So he says, I saw my uncle Rav Priya supervise a chalitza. You have to have a bezin for chalitza. He says, I love the chamise lechavivi, if not for the fact that I saw my beloved uncle Rav Priya the Cholatz, he had the Yavam du chalitza. The sandal, this beishinzin, the shoe had the straps on top and they tied it together. If not for the fact that I saw that he did it, I would not have allowed it. Anola havoy chalitzna ela the sandal of the tire. The Arabs, tire Arabs. The Arabs have shoes that are so tight that you don't really need shoe straps to hold it tightly on the foot. Holds tight on its own. So if not to the fact that I have a tradition, I saw my uncle was a Talmud of Rav Priya was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasser edited the Mishnah. So that's apparently the tradition, that's acceptable. He said, if not for the fact that I saw it with my own eyes, I would have thought that it's not acceptable. The shoe has to be able to hold tightly on the Yavam's foot without any straps. Has to be the right size. But for our family, he said, that's the meaning of Mekubal. So there's nothing wrong if the shoe is a little too big, as long as they tie it on well with the shoe straps so it shouldn't fall off. B'hai didan, and our practice today, when we have a chalitza shoe, Bezna has a chalitza shoe, avagav dis bechumarta, chumarta is the Americ for knots. Even though there are knots that hold the shoe together, and it's not going to fall off of the foot, the practice is katrina and bei misna, we take a strap, misna is a string or a strap, we take straps and we tie the shoe tighter on the foot, to make sure that for sure it's not going to fall off of the foot. It says, v'cholza na'aloi. So the simple translation, v'cholza na'aloi, sounds like the shoe has to belong to the Yavam. So the Gemara is going to say later, that's not true. Even though the Peshut Hashan Mikra says it should belong to him, that's not the din, it doesn't have to belong to him. So what does it mean, na'aloi? It has to be the correct size. If he has a big foot and the chalitza shoe is tiny, it's toitnish. It has to be choyfer rover regal. And if he has a tiny shoe, a tiny foot, and the chalitza shoe is so big that he can't walk in it, it's going to keep on falling off. It's also not acceptable. He has to be able to walk with the shoe. So we have a minig, the Gemara has this, we have a minig that the bezin has a chalitza shoe, because all the shoes that we wear are made from horse leather. So we're machmet, this is a kotzer Rabbi Natan, that tachash is a kosher animal. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the baby, Klal Yisrael, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he washed the baby off, and he put on oil, and he put on powder, and he put on diapers, and everything, he put on the shechalach, put on the nolach tachash, he made shoes from tachash. So tachash happens to be a kosher animal, because the Gemara says the tachash doesn't exist anymore, so we can't check by looking at it to see if it's malager, if it's parsa. So how do we know that it was a kosher animal? Maybe it was a min tamei. So the Gemara says it cannot be because Gemiri, we have a tradition. If you're using or tachash for the Mishkan, so it has to be from a kosher animal. So all the shoes that we wear are horse leather. So you can't use our shoes. We follow that. Rabbi Natan has to be. So you have to make a special shoe. It's a shoe that nobody ever wears. So the bezin always has a chalitza shoe that's made from our behemoth tahira. So the minig is, the Gemara has in the days of the minig, the minig was that they were makna the shoe to the oven. So the Rashboy asks, why would they makna to the oven? The Gemara says, it doesn't have to belong to him. Chotzeh ben al she'en shalah is also good. So the Rashboy suggests, maybe it has to belong to him to fulfill pshuta shal mikra. Since the pshuta shal mikra is, the chotzeh na'alo has to be his, even though the Torah Shabbat Peh learns that from Ribuyim in the Pasuk, that it doesn't have to belong to him, but we want to try and fulfill the pshuta shal mikra. It's an interesting idea.
Have any other place where you say that?
So the Paschim talk about it by Arovis. He says you have to have on Sukkot, you need a lulav esrei, hadassim, and Arovis, and it says, arve nachal Arovis that grow by river. So the Gemara says, and what's it did if it doesn't grow by river? The Gemara says, it's also good. But the pshut shel mikra is that it grows by river. So there's a whole discussion in Paschim and Achrayim, maybe lechatchila tzehida that it should grow by river. If the people who sell by Arovis would know that, they would make more money. As it is, they make a fortune on our Arovis. They're worried about, because the Menchas Chinuch has a kasha, there's a Rashi in Sukkah. Rashi says, whatever you need shalachem for a mitzvah, it has to be at least Shavu Pruta. If it's not a Shavu Pruta, you own it, but it's not called shalachem. So the Menchas Chinuch asks, how are Arovis shalachem? You can get 100 Arovis for a penny. So they want to answer the kasha, so they charge $5 for each Arovis. But if they would know that there's a hidden lechatchila that it should grow by river, they charge $25 every Arovis. But they don't do it. Okay. So here there's a famous discussion in the Rosh, and in, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. When you tie the knots on top of the chalitza shoe, so does it have to be a kesha shel kayama? So there's one opinion, yes. The Gemara says she has to untie the next piece of the Gemara. Gemara says she has to do two things. She has to untie the knot that holds the shoe from falling off, because it's a shoe that fits everybody. If it would be a tight shoe, you wouldn't even need the whole straps. So we use, the bezin uses one shoe that fits everybody. So some people have a tiny foot, so the shoe is going to fall off. So tightness, you have to have straps on top, that it should be a chalitza mali, says the shoe shouldn't fall off. It should be considered the right size. So so we tie knots on top. So we tie knots. Was it Katrina Bay Mist, and we tie a strap on top, then it should hold well. So if the Gemara says Katrina, you tie a knot. So a knot is usually a kesher shel kayama. You make a double knot. And other Rishonim say, why? Why do you have to make a double knot? Who needs a double knot? You should make on shoelaces, we make a bow. So if you want to untie the shoelace, you don't have to use it both hands. You untie by taking off by using one hand. So the meaning is we do both. We make a double knot and we have a bow on top of the double knot. So the Vilna Gaon makes fun over there. In the Bir Agra, he always gives marmakamas. He doesn't give his opinion. Just said there's a Mishnah, this is a Gemara. The Vilna Gaon is relying on the fact that he read the Bir Agra. The Bir Agra was written by his great-grandfather. So he refers back to everything that it says. The Bir Agra usually gives a marmakam on the whole sif. Sometimes on a half a sif. And the Vilna Gaon will give you a marmakam on every phrase in the sif. This was added, this nuance, Taisus added this nuance, it's a Tosefta. It doesn't really say everything in the Marmokim that the Bir Agra has. So here the Vilna Gaon gives you always Marmokim, that he usually doesn't give his own opinion. And this line where it says you make a bow on top of the double knot, so he says, Chumarta de Chumarta. He's joking. Chumarta is Aramaic for a knot. And he's making kibbutzim. He says, a chumra on top of a chumra. The whole thing doesn't make sense. What do you make a double knot and you make a bow on top? What are you satisfying all the opinions over here?
Yes.
Because the Gemara says she has to untie the knot. She has to be matad the ritzus, untie a knot. So the assumption has to be a kesher shal. Half of the Rishonim assume has to be a kesher shal kayam, otherwise it's not called the knot. And then she has to take it off. So you need both. She should untie the knot. So that's what some insist. There should be a kesher shal kayam, a double knot. The din is on Shabbos, you need a kesher shel kayama. What's the definition of kesher shel kayama? So it's clear from the Gemara that it has two aspects to it. One is the tzuras hakesher has to look like a kesher shel kayama. And number two, the kavanas hagari, he has to plan to leave it there for a long time. Let's say a person makes a double knot, but he on his shoes, a woman wears clothing, in the days of the Tanaim, probably today also, I don't know, in the days of the Tanaim you have, the women would put on their dresses so they would make knots all over the place. But they're not going to wear the dress. They're not going to wear the dress when they go to sleep. They're going to take off the dress. So they made double knots all over the place, but they plan to untie all the knots and very soon. They're not going to wear it for too long. So yeah. So the definition of Kesher Shal Kayama is that you need a Tzuras HaKesher has to be Shal Kayama. Let's say you make a bow and you plan to leave the bow for the next 100 years. Fine, you got to do the Kavonas HaGavra to leave it forever, but that's not... There's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes atana, whether aniva. If you have a bow, is that called the tzuras hakesher shel kayama? Rabbi Yehuda holds that aniva is a kesher shel kayama. We paskin that it's not. So even if you plan to leave it for half a year, but that tzuras hakesher is not shel kayama. And even if you make a triple knot, four knots, one on top of the other, but you plan to untie it when you go to sleep, so it's also not a kesher shel kayama. Any both, and it should be a tzuras hakesher. So there's a Gemara in the last parak in Erevin. The last parak in Erevin is Hamoitzei Tefillin. Guy's walking in the street, and the garbage collectors are about to collect the garbage, and he sees someone, there's a pair of tefillin in the garbage. So they're going to incinerate it, they're going to take it, they're going to burn it. And there's no Erev in the city. So he wants to be matzil the tefillin. It looks like it's a real pair of tefillin. Doesn't look like a joke. Doesn't look like an imitation tefillin. Looks like a real pair of tefillin. So what can he do? So the Mishnah said, let him wear the tefillin and take it home and put another pair on and take it home. So the Gemara says, what if the Ritzuas don't have a knot? Can you tie a knot on it? So the Gemara says, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that aniva, a bow, is a kesher shel kayama for Shabbos, then it would be good for tefillin also. Tefillin, the Gemara says, kesher shel tefillin halacha moshe mesina, that you have to have a kesher. So the Gemara says, how strong does the kesher have to be? Kesher shal yad, kesher shal rosh. Is an aniva acceptable or not? What do you mean aniva? It has to have a tzura of a dal and a tzura of a yud. So Tyson says, you see from that Gemara, Tyson beginning of Bracha said, see from the Gemara that the dalet and the yud is only the rabbanon. Kesher shal tefillin halach moshin, it just means there should be a kesher. The tzura is that's only with the rabbanon. That's what Tyson holds. So the Gemara wants to know, if you make an aniva on the ritzuas, is that acceptable? So the Gemara says, it depends on Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that aniva is called the kesher shel kayama, has a tzura of a kesher shel kayama, so then it'll be kosher for tefillin, but it'll be a chilul Shabbos. If you're going to make the aniva on Shabbos, it'll be a chilul Shabbos. If you hold like the Rabbanon, that it's not a chilul Shabbos, because it's not a kesher shel kayama, then it's no good for the tefillin either. So if the ritzuas are not in the shape of a kesher, then you can't make the kesher on Shabbos. So you see from that Gemara that kesher shel tefillin has to be a kesher shel kayama. So that's the question, what do you mean a kesher shel kayama? Let's say on Shabbos a kesher shel kayama needs two parts. It has to be the tzuras, a kesher should be shel kayama. We paskin that aniva is not, a bow is not a tzuras, a kesher shel kayama. And then you have to plan to leave it there indefinitely. You plan to leave it there for half a year, for a long period of time. So let's say I borrow tefillin from someone else and the shalrosh doesn't fit. Too small, too large, whatever. So I do over the kesher shalrosh. Then when I finish davening shacharis, I make it back the way it was before. Because it's not the way I made it. It's large or small, it's not going to fit the balabas. So I didn't leave it indefinitely. I didn't even leave it 24 hours. I just took it apart. So that's a question, is that acceptable? Are you yotzei tefillin with the ritzuas that you made a kesher, but you only made the kesher to daven shacharis for an hour? After the hour's up, you undid it. So the Avnezer has a chiddush, he says, the Gemara said, you need a kesher shel kayama, so you have to leave it at least 24 hours. If you made over the kesher, and you untied right after shacharis, so you're not yotzei. It has to be dafke kesher shel kayama. And because they have Nenez and Gezok, so many of the later poskim also agree. That's very difficult. Where do you find the shir in Hilcha Shabbos? 24 hours is a shir on the level of the Raisa. 24 hours is a shir on a din de Rabbanon. I remember when we learned Shabbos in Rav Soloveitchik's class, that one of the questions he gave, I read Mechina all the time. So he wrote the question, Hechis Naik Hagoylo. If a person gets Glila, what should he do? So one of the boys wrote, he should make a Mishaberach, he should donate money to the show. He didn't make a Mishaberach. He meant, what about tying the bow? So he meant to ask, if you get galila by mincha, and it's not going to be untied until Monday morning, so you're going to leave, you're going to make a bow, and it's not a bow is not a kesher shalkayim, but you're going to leave it for more than 24 hours. So Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham quotes a chumra that you shouldn't do it. You should wrap it around and tuck it in. If you got galila in shachris, and they're going to lay from the same sefer Torah by mincha, so they're going to undo the bow within the same 24 hours. So that's mutar l'chatchila to make a bow in shachris if you plan to untie it within 24 hours. But if you get galila by mincha, doesn't help, you're going to make a mishaberch. If you get galila by mincha, then you're not going to open up the bow until Monday morning, so more than 20 hours, it's awesome in the Rabban. Even though it's Eino Shulchan, it's awesome in the Rabban. So the whole din of 24 hours, that's a shiur on a level of the Rabbanon. If you hold that you need a kesher shalkayam by tefillin, that's a din that I say need a kesher shalkayam. So what does it help? You're going to leave it for 24 hours. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. His father thought that was a big joke. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought, you don't accomplish anything by leaving it for 24 hours. I sof kol sof, it's a beferish gemara in the end of the Erevin, that you need a kesher shalkayam for tefillin. If you all like Rabbi Yehuda, that Aniva is Kesher Shal Kayama, that's good for Tefillin also. If you all like the Chachamim, that's how we paskin. Aniva is not a Kesher Shal Kayama, so it's no good for Tefillin. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that two different dinim, two aspects to Kesher Shal Kayama. One aspect is that you should have a Tzuras HaKesher Shal Kayama, so Aniva we paskin is not a Tzuras HaKesher Shal Kayama. Then, so that's a din of Kesher and Kol HaTorah Kula. Whenever you need a Kesher, so by Kesher Shal Tefillin, you need a Tzuras HaKesher Shal Kayama. And by Chalitza, half of the Rishonim hold you need that because she has to untie it. She has to untie Kesher, so it has to be a Kesher Shal Kayam. So you need a Kesher Al Gabi Kesher. But when you do the Chalitza, you tie it, then 2 minutes later, she unties it. You're not going to leave it on his foot for 24 hours. And what is that? It's not a Kesher Shal Kayam. So the answer is, that din is only a din in Hilchot Shabbos. That's not a din in the definition of Kesher. And call it Terukul. The Tzuras HaKesher has to be Shal Kayama to the exclusion of Aniva. That's a din of Kesher and call it Terukul. Not just from Aleches Kosher. That's for Kesher for Tzuras of Tefillin, Kesher for Chalitza Shu also, according to half of the Rishon. But the din that you have to leave it indefinitely, leave it for 6 months indefinitely, that's a din of Aleches Shabbos. That Aleches Shabbos only, Kolosim Aleches B'Shabbos and Malachim Miskayemis. You need Shal Kayama. It's a din of Ksav. Also, Ksav Shena Shal Kayama is only the Rabbanah. Minator is only, or Binyan Aroi is only also the Rabbanah. Minator is only Binyan Kavua, and Oil Aroi is only also the Rabbanah. They make a new Kesher every day. I don't know. Taisus and Chulin quotes there was a Machloikas Rabbein Atam and Rabbein Aliyo, his brother in law, I think. So Ben Elio held Ukshatim Los Al Yadech. You have to tie the Kesher every day. Yeah, yeah, but we don't follow that. Oh yeah, what they untie the knot and they tie it every day. Well,
Shabbos.
Okay.
They could open it
at Motzei
Shabbos and have to wait till Monday.
If they plan to untie it, okay. But if they don't plan to untie it on the Tzai Shabbos, they don't plan to untie it till Monday morning, then it says it's also in the Rabban. Yeah. So that's what Moshe Soloveitchik said. He thought that the two dinim of Kesher Shal Kayama, one is a din of Kesher and called Torah Kula, the other din is a din of Hilchos Malachos Shabbos. It's only called Malachos Malshevis if it's Malach to Miskayemis. If it's Shal Kayama, if it's Aroi, then it's not called a Malach. So the second din that you have to plan to leave the Kesher indefinitely, plan to leave the Kesher for half a year, that's only a din in Hilchot Shabbos. That doesn't carry over to the Chalitza Shul, that doesn't carry over to the Tefillin either. Then the Ramah, Rav Soloveitchik gathered on from his father, the Ramah, quotes from the Shilta Gibor. Shilta Gibor is printed on the side of the Rif. So the Ramah calls it Hagoas Alfasi. We call it Shilti Gibor. He calls it Hagoas Alfasi. So it says the Shilti Giborim, I think, lived in Italy, if I'm not mistaken. So he writes, there's a minig. Not everybody has this minig. The Chidos says by the Sfardim they didn't have the minig. But the Shilti Giborim writes, there's a minig that you don't make a double knot on Shabbos even if you plan to untie it within 24 hours. If you make a bow, and you plant on time is mutter. Plant a little more than 25, you shouldn't. But if you double knot, lechatchil you avoid it. If you time the children's shoelaces, you're not going to make a double knot. You're going to have to keep on time the shoelaces every 2 minutes. The kids are going to pull it up. So if you have no brera, so the chumrah doesn't apply. Or an adult, let's say, you have shoelaces that keep on, they're too fat, they keep on untying. So you have no brera, so you're not saying, you're not machmer on that. But whenever it's reasonable to be machmer, so the meaning is you don't make a double knot, even, let's say, a woman's dress or something, you don't make a double knot, even if you're going to untie it within 24 hours. Why should that be so? So he said his father had a Taisus in Yuma. There's a Taisus in Yuma where Taisus asks, how come, according to Reb Shimon, the Tana Reb Shimon, Dov Shedim is Kavin is Mutim on Shabbos, Menatar is Mutim on the Rabbanon. Melach Hashem Tzvich al Gufa is Mutim on Atar Beret Sosim on the Rabbanon. Why did they make a Chumra here? They didn't make a Chumra there. How did they decide when to make a Chumra? So Taisus says the following. Melach Hashem Tzvich al Gufa is only a Kula in Hilchot Shabbos. It doesn't apply to other, let's say, Shnas HaShmita. You're not allowed to do avodah sakarka. You're not allowed to do certain malecha sakarka. But ain't tzvicha legufa will still be an isa deraisa, even though we call it malecha sakarka. But it's not governed with the rules of malecha shen tzvicha legufa. Malecha shen tzvicha legufa is only a din of malecha Shabbos and malecha yantav. So kdei lahas for Shabbos and sharka la Torah kula, they made a chumrah that malecha shen tzvicha legufa is mut man Torah, but it's also mid rabbanan. Kdei lahas for Shabbos. The shakolat of whatever is only a kula in Hilchot Shabbos, and the Rabbanan he said you shouldn't rely on the kula. But Dov Sheinim is Kavin, according to Reb Shimon, is Mutar and Kolat Torah Kula. So why should they be Machmer in Hilchot Shabbos? The whole idea of being Machmer is only because they taste the Sloshin is because they lahash for Shabbos, the shakolat Torah Kula. So Moshe Soloveitchik said that's the reason for this chumra that the Shulti Gevorim has in Masechah Shabbos. That if you're going to make a Kesher Shal Kayama, you're going to untie it right away. In Kola Tarakula, that is called a Kesha. By Chalitza, it is a Kesha. By Tefillin, it is a Kesha Shal Kayama. In Shabbos, it's not, because you need another din, Malach to Miskayam. That's a Shabbos Dika din. So, Kdei Lahash for Shabbos, Shar Kola Tarakula, the Minig developed, the Tanoim never made such a Gzeira. In the Gemara, you don't have it. The Shulti Gevorim quotes it. The Chidor says that by where he lived, they never observed that Chumah, not to make a double knot whenever you can avoid it. But the Shulti Gevorim has a chumik day. Lahash for Shabbos and the Shar Kol HaTarakula. So you don't make a double knot, even though you plant on time. So that's the din. By the Yavama, the shoe has to fit. And the Bezna only has one size shoe for everybody. So how can it be that it fits everybody? So you have to make sure that you tie the straps well, that the Yavama, even if the Yavama has a small foot and the shoe is twice as big as it should be, should be able to tie the shoe around his leg with the straps, with the chalitza straps, like a ritzuis, in such a way that it shouldn't fall off. That's what the Gemara says. So what do you need? When is the chalitza finished? When she unties the knot on top, and she removes the shoe from his foot. How much does she have to remove the shoe? So the Rambam is interesting. The Rambam says, the minigis, if she takes off the shoe, and she throws it away. Where did that come from? That doesn't say anything more. The only source is the Zohar. So they see that the Rambam had the Zohar. We don't know if the Rambam did that. That was the minig. The minig, well, the Rambam writes that was the minig. You take off the shoe, and she throws it away. It was to be recorded in the Zohar also. Yeah. So the Shaila is, at what moment is the Chalitza finished? She has to untie the shoe and remove it. How much does she have to remove? Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Atoras Yevam Alashuk. When is the chalitza finished? So strictly speaking, she has to do chalitza. She has to do rikike. She has to do the kriyas apsukim also. But we pass on that the rikike, the machlekes satana. We pass on the rikike is not miakev, and the kriyas apsukim is not miakev. The only thing that's miakev is the chalitza taking off the shoe. So at what moment is it considered that she took off the shoe? So he says, "Hataris Yavam Alashuk." When is she permitted to remarry? When is the chalitza finished? Strictly speaking, Gishmitas Roiva Ekev. The shoe has to fit the heel of his foot. So when the majority of the heel is out of the shoe, even though, let's say, the chalitza shoe is like a boots, it's not like we wear shoes that are so low. Chalitza shoe goes up a little bit, a few inches higher than our shoes. So you don't have to remove the whole shoe from the foot of the oven. as long as roiv of his heel is removed from the shoe, ishan genok, that's good enough. Ruba kikula, okay. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, how can you say that? Doesn't the Tosefta seem to contradict it? It says, Hutru ritsuas manol visando. You're doing chalitza either with hard leather, soft leather, whatever, and there was a knot on top, and somehow the knot got untied. She didn't untie the knot. The minig is that we insist that she has to do chalitza with her right hand. Because the Mishnah that says, Cholta bismol chalitza sapsula. So the real pshat in the Mishnah, Cholta bismol means that she took the shoe off of his left foot. It doesn't mean that she took it off with her left hand. But there's a Taisus in Chulin that writes, Taisus in Chulin d'Avchav, we learned about it, we learned Chulin. Taisus in Chulin d'Avchav from an Aleph has a little Taisus. Taisus understands Cholta bismol, she took the chalitza shoe off with her left hand. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara of the Pharisee said it doesn't mean that. But because that's what it says in Taisin Chulin, so when Machmer for that. So you always find that is the Ivama, a righty or a lefty. So if she's a righty, you should tell her to put her left hand behind the back. You're dealing with a double knot. You have a bow on top of a double knot. So the easiest way to untie a double knot is to use the both hands. So because of this Chumra, so we tell the Ivama, her natural instinct is going to be to untie the knot with the both hands. So tell her, put the left hand behind your back and untie the knot and do everything with the right hand. That's what we're machma like that. And if she's a lefty, then you tell her, faket, put your right hand behind your back and do the untie the knot and take off the shoe with your left hand. So he says, Rab Yudah says in the name of Rav, once roiv of the heel of the yavam is already loosened out of the chalitza shoe, ishan finished. But we have it to Sefta. Sefta says, if the Ritzuas untied by themselves, she didn't untie it. Someone else untied it, or it fell apart by itself. So it's no good. Hutra Ritzuas Manam Sanda is no good. Oh, Sheshama, or the Yavam, took out Roiv HaRegel. The Yavam took out Grove of his leg, Grove of his foot, from the Chalitza Shub Sula. So the reason why it's no good, because she has to do both A and B. She has to untie the knot on top. Shouldn't happen by itself. And she has to take the shoe off from his foot. Time or the reason why the Tosefta says it's no good to Shamatu, because he took the shoe off. But if the Ivama did both, she untied the knot on her own, and she removed the shoe, then it's good. Then Chalitza Sekshera, and the Tosefta says Rav HaRegel. Doesn't say Rav HaEkev. Rav HaEkev is just most of the heel is loosened. Rav HaRegel means you have to take most of the foot should be exposed. You took the shoe off of most of the foot. Frank the Gemara, Rav HaRegel and Rav HaEkev, lo. Doesn't contradict what Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav. The Gemara says, lo, it doesn't contradict. And Rav HaRegel and Rav HaEkev, when it says in the Tosefta that Rav HaRegel, the Yavama has to remove so much of the Chalitza shoe, till Rav HaRegel is exposed, it doesn't mean Rav of the Regel. That's what it means, Rav HaEkev. So why do you call the Ekev? Am I correlate Rav HaRegel? If you don't really, you really don't mean that. And for the Gemara, because when you walk, the weight always is on the heel. So since the kula chela de kare alei doches, the whole weight of the whole body, the whole weight of the foot is really leaning on the heel. So therefore, the brisa, the Tosefta calls it shamad Rav HaRegel. But it really means Rav HaEkev. The Tosefta does not contradict Rav Yudah Marav. That's how we pass them. But you see, for the Tosefta, you need two parts to the Chalitza. The untying of the knot, she has to untie the knot. If there is a knot, let's say they have a Chalitza shoe that fits very snugly, like the Gemara said, the Arabs have, like the Taya. The Arabs have very tight fitting. So the Rosh writes, what's wrong? Who says that you need straps? If it doesn't fit well, then you need straps, then you should be able to walk with it. But if it fits well, so who says that you need strap? Who says you need a kesher shal kayama bechlal? The Rosh time is many half of the Rishonim time like that. You just need removal of the shoe, but you have to have it tied down. If it's too big, then you have to have it tied down with the straps, and you should be able to be yochel aleches. But so this Tosefta spells out that two parts to the chalitza. Then Gemara says this Tosefta supports Rab Yana, Messiah led Rab Yana, Dom Rab Yana, Gizok, that there are two parts to Chalitza. Ben Shehitahu, If the Yovam untied the knot for Shamtahi, and she removed it from the foot, Ben Shehiti Rehi, or if she untied the knots for Shamaru, and the Yovam removed it from his foot, there's no good. Chalitzot Sula, because you need the Yovam, I should do everything. I should Tatahi with Tashmadhi. She has to untie the knots, and she has to remove it from the foot. Those are the two parts to the chalitza. You have chalitza, rikike, and kriyas apsukim, but the chalitza has two parts to it. The untying of the knot and removing of the shoe. The Gemara says, it's not necessary to remove the shoe, strictly speaking. The minute goes, but you take it and you throw it, to make it clear that she took off the whole shoe from the whole foot. But strictly speaking, you don't need so much. Once she took, Reif HaEkev was no longer held in the shoe, even though the foot is still covered up. That's called chalitza sasampo. So now the Gemara is not sure. What's the definition of chalitza? The Yavam was wearing the sandal and it has tied up with knots, double knots and bows and everything. And she takes a torch and she burns the whole sandal. So now his foot is exposed. But she didn't take off the sandal. She ripped the sandal to bits. Or she burnt the whole sandal. Is that called exposing the foot? Is the definition of a chotza nala me'al ragla. Chotza nala means after the chalitza is over, the nala is no longer on his foot, because nala doesn't exist anymore. You say, no, she has to take off the shoe from his foot and has to exist as a shoe after she takes it off. So that's the shah, the boy, Rabbi Yana, he's not sure what is necessary. If she ripped up, she has a knife and she keeps on ripping the leather till there's nothing left. There's no shoe left, but she never really took the shoe off of his foot. She keeps on ripping off strips and strips till the ice shoe. She burns the whole thing. She torches a little here, a little here. The shoe doesn't exist anymore. What's the definition of a chotze? Do you say giluy karabinon? She should expose the foot for her ikra. She exposed the foot because she destroyed the whole shoe. It doesn't exist. Or Dilma, perhaps the pshat is chalitza binon. She has to take off the shoe. It should exist as a shoe after she takes it off. Aleka, and over here she burnt it or she ripped it to pieces. It's no good. Well, says take off. They're not sure. Suffolk on the level of their ice. Take the raisa l'chumr. Whenever the Gemara has a teku, if it's a din the raisa, you go l'chumr. Din the rabbani, you can go l'chul. Then the Gemara has a new shayla. Boy menei rab nechemia mei rabba. He asked the shayla, what's a din? The Yavam is wearing two shoes, one on top of the other. Shema adonim zel gabizem. What's the din? Can you do chalitza if he's wearing two shoes, one on top of the other? And what did she do? What did she do with the two shoes? Hechidami. So what? He didn't finish the shayla. If you should say the shayla is the shalfa say li iloi, she removed the upper shoe, the koi tatoi, and the bottom shoe is still there. So that's the pasuk l'chotzanala me'al v'lo me'al de me'al. She took off the upper shoe, and the lower shoe is remaining on the foot. So there's the lower shoe is a chalit, is a chatzitza between the upper shoe and the foot. So that's not good. Me'al amachman v'lo me'al de me'al. There's a chatzitza, the lower shoe is a chatzitza between the upper shoe and the foot. So Toynesh, that's not a shayla, that's no good. That's nothing to discuss. Something more like Tzvicha, the case that we're asking in the shayla, Reb Nechemia had a shayla like this. The karisei li'iloi, she ripped a little bit the upper shoe, and she took off the lower shoe without removing the upper shoe. Astant. She took off the lower shoe from the foot without removing the upper shoe. Without removing the upper shoe. The Kara say, she ripped the top one a little bit in order that she should be able to v'shalfa say, litatoi, she pulled out the lower shoe, the koi iloi, and the upper shoe is still there covering the foot. What's the din? So she took off the shoe that had no chatzitza. She took off the bottom shoe, but after she takes off the shoe, the foot is still covered. And then the Yavam takes it off. But that's Tognish, if the Yavam does no good, she has to do everything that has to be done. So does that have to be done? She took off the lower shoe, she did chalitza's sandal. But maybe chalitza's sandal requires also that the foot should be exposed. So that's what the Gemara is not sure. My, what's the din? Chalitza bina v'halika, does the din require she should remove the shoe? So they remove the shoe, so it's okay. Or Dilma, or perhaps it's not good. Giluya karabina v'halika. Maybe you have to expose the foot. That was the shayla they had before. Before they had the shayla, she burnt the shoe, or she ripped up the shoe. She exposed the foot without chalitza sasandal. is that acceptable? Maybe b'chotzen nala means she should do something that you shouldn't be wearing. You shouldn't be wearing the shoe anymore. She destroyed the shoe. So that was the first shot. That was a take. Now they have no. She removed the lower shoe, which didn't have any chatzitza. The lower shoe was touching his foot. However, even after removing the lower shoe, so the foot is not exposed, because the upper shoe is still covering the foot. So the oven takes it over. That's not going to help. She has to do. So that's the shayla. Freg di gemara fani kasha. What do you mean? Does any normal person wear a shoe on top of a shoe? So what are you clearing our shayla? The oven wear a shoe on top of a shoe, is it good? Does anybody ever do that?
It's raining.
Huh?
It's raining.
Yeah. So Tosis, this is a famous Tosis. Tosis quotes as a Gemara in Chulin. The top line of Tosis. When a behemah gives birth the first time, so if it gives birth to a male, so it has a din of b'chor behemah Torah, even b'zman hazeh. So if there's a Jewish person who owns a farm and the behemahs give birth, so he has to make a shutfus with a guy in order that he should be stuck. If you have a b'chor behemah Torah, he's supposed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and be makrovit. We have a Beis HaMikdash, so you have to wait till it gets a mum. You're not allowed to make a mum. You can't shecht it till it gets a mum. You're not allowed to make a mum, but you're dying. Now let us go to make the moon. So you have to make a shut for sakum. So the Gemara discusses when does the b'chor become kodesh? When the b'chor is born, it's kodesh b'rechem. When it bounces out of the rechem of the mother, then it's kodesh. The Gemara has a shaila, a funny shaila. The Tosfos says it's never going to come up in a million years. But the Gemara, the style of the Gemara, they always clear abstract shalas, even though they're going to come up to be mevarer. What's the ikar din? The Gemara is a shayla. A cow is pregnant with the first blood, and then you take another cow and you put the rechem of the second cow right next to the rechem of the first cow, and you take the uber from this one, you put it into the other one, and then 2 months later the second cow gives birth. So is that kodesh? Is that called kodesh merechemana? So Tosfos says, it's not going to come up in 5,000 years. It's never going to come up. Now they do it ma'isa mechol yom. They take an embryo from one cow, they put it in another cow. They do it by women. They're beginning to do it. By cows, they've been doing it for a long time. So Tosfos says, Tosfos writes in the beginning of Ksuvos. That's the style of the Gemara. The Gemara has this. Tosfos has it. There's a din that ameis is avi avos hatumah. So if you come in contact with a mace, you're tummy. So the Gemara says, not only in a mace, even Goyle B'Doifek, in the cemetery, also in the tummy. Like Avi Abba said, what's Goyle B'Doifek? So Rashi writes, Goyle B'Doifek are the sideboards of a coffin, and the Doifek is the lid on top. So Tosa said, that's totally ridiculous, because the Gemara in Erevin, the first pair, we learned Erevin, I think that as well. The Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara has a machloikis hatanoim. What's the din if you use a live animal as a doifik? So Tosfos said, what do you mean? The lid of the coffin is a live animal? And he buries the live animal alive. That's ridiculous. Which Meshugan is going to bury the live? So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Girl of a doifik means the guy is buried. And the girl of a doifik is the tombstone, is the girl, and the doifik are the stones on the side that hold up, that support the tombstone. Right. Or the girl is the girl usually means liglol, is to roll. So they used to have kuchen, they used to have a man-made cave. They would bury the people in the shelves in the cave, and then they would have a big stone that they would roll. So some Rishonim say that's the girl. They would roll the stone. It has to do with the matzeva, the things on the top. So Tosfos says, what's the shad if you use a live animal as a matzeva? They buried a person, died, they buried him, and they didn't have a chance to make him out savior yet. So they want to remember where he's buried. So they bang a peg into the ground, and they tie a cow, and they're just going to leave the cow there for a day. And tomorrow they're going to have the tombstone is going to be ready. Ready? This morning, tomorrow, the practice was the Tosfos claims they put the tombstone right away the same day. So if they don't have a tombstone prepared, so they'll tie an animal there, so everybody will know this is where Yankel was buried. And tomorrow they'll take the behemoth away and they'll put the tombstone on. So that was the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. What if you have a live animal serving temporarily as a goyel, as the tombstone? You should know where the person was buried, is the live animal mitame like girl of a doifik and not. But according to Rashi, the girl is the doifik is the lid on top of the coffin. So how can it be that you're going to use a live animal as a lid on a coffin? Nobody in its right mind does that. So then Taisa says, truth of the matter, it's not a kasha, because this Gemara Chulin Daf Ayin talks about a thing that's never going to happen in 5,000 years, that you're going to take the embryo from one behemoth, put it inside the rechem of another behemoth that is going to give birth later. It's never going to happen. That's the style of the Talmud Bavli. They discuss things that didn't yet happen. You should know what the din is in abstract in case details come up. Yeah. So Taisa says, so since that's the style of the Talmud Bavli, they discuss and abstract things that are never going to happen, just to be aware of what the din is. So what's the Gemara's kasha? We were discussing what's the din. The Yavam puts on two shoes, one on top of the other. And she succeeded, the Yavama succeeded in removing the bottom shoe without exposing the foot, because the top shoe was a little loose. So she took off the bottom shoe. There's no chatzitza between the foot and the bottom shoe. He's not wearing socks, and his feet are clean, and no dirt on the foot. But she didn't expose the foot because the upper shoe was still there. So Gemara has a shot. The Gemara said, what are you talking? Which normal person ever said? No one ever does it, but still we want to know what's the din in abstract. So what's the Gemara's kasha? That's what Taisa wants in him. In Taimar, don't you see from the Gemara that the Gemara talks about abstract cases, even though they never came up? They're never going to come up in 1,000 years. You want to know what the din is. And Taisa says, no, the Bada Pshita Leshiochaliyais. We know that it may happen, we know that it's rare, but the Gemara is asking, if it's abnormal to wear a shoe on top of a shoe, so maybe you're not Yotzei Chalitza for that reason. It says, V'cholta Nala Mi'al Ragla, she should take off the shoe from the Yavam's foot. But if he's wearing a shoe in a kooky way, that no normal person ever wears a shoe like that, maybe it's not called wearing a shoe. That's the Gemara's argument. Not, what are you talking about, a case that's never going to come up in 10,000 years? No, we can still talk about a case even if it never comes up. But the Gemara's kasha was, maybe you're not Yotzei the Chalitza for that reason. The Yomari, the Vadai Pshita Leshiachli, it may come up, theoretically, but the Gemara's kasha was, Mihavi Chalitza, Ki Hai Gavn Halayin Derech Manilonim Linobo. Nobody wears two shoes, one on top of the other. So that's why it's no good. So to that, the Gemara responded, no. And on one case, you say, sometimes it's raining, and a person wears a shoe on top of a shoe. It's cold outside. All the people sometimes wear rubbers all winter long, even if it's not raining outside, because the rubbers will keep the feet warmer than otherwise. So that's what the Gemara says, yeah. And for the Gemara, and it is normal. Why? The Chazur Rabbanan, the Talmidim once saw Rabbi Yudah, the Nafik Bechamish, Zuzin Muki Lushuka. He was wearing five shoes, one on top of the other. Five pairs of socks, one on top of the other. So people sometimes do it. So that's an Ishkan. Not that the Gemara was asking Miki Kehagavna, what are you clearing a Hakira? It's never going to happen. Chakiras that are never going to happen, that's the style of the Talmud Bavli. That we know. That's the Taisus in Ksuvas, that's the Taisus here. They prove it from the Gemara Chulin about taking the embryo and putting it into the other Rechem. That's Maisim B'chol Yomnei. But Taisus says the Gemara's kasha was, if it's not Derech Levishas Manolim like that, so it's no good for Chalit. The Gemara says, it is the Derech Levishas Manolim. That's an Ishken Tain. Now the Gemara has a new topic. Maybe we'll give a little background over here.
What's the marker that you have to make a tie? What's the part that says kesher?
Who says that you need a kesher?
Yeah.
Right, the Rosh quotes that argument. Maybe B'chlal, you don't need a kesher. You only need a kesher if the Bezin uses one shoe that fits all. So if his foot is tiny and the shoe is bigger, because the shoe has to be able to fit the people with the big feet, so it's going to fall off of his foot. So then you have to have straps to tie it on. But if it fits well like the sandal of the tie, like that, who says you need to tie Ritzuas at all? That's one of the arguments. Who says you need a kesher? If it's falling off of the foot, then you have to... Who says you need a kesher? If you wrap it around it and you tuck it in, and he'll be able to walk for a couple of hours like that, if it's going to fall apart in 2 minutes, then he's not wearing the shoe in a normal fashion. And a chanami, that's what the Rosh quotes all the time. Who says you need a kesha? Who says you need a kesha?
You have such a big shoe and it's only held on by the knot, and you let the knot go, it's going to come off by itself. So where is the taking off?
when she unties it, then okay. When she unties it, it's going to come up by itself. She's responsible for both, for the untying.
Seem to make a difference between just untying the ritzu itself and the actual taking off.
Right. But sometimes, like you say, once you untie the mail, it's going to fall off by itself. Right? So she did both. Yeah. So here there's a din. The Gemara quotes Vohatanya, yeah, about 7-8 lines from the top. The line begins, Ben Shin is Kabinu, who learn is Kabinu, he, Ben Shin is Kabinu, who learn is Kabinu, Chalitza is Psula, Achi is Kabinu, Shnehem. Chalitza is only Mata, the Yavama, he knows it, Lashuk, if the other man, the Yavama, had Kavana. Let's say the woman works in a shoe store, and the Yavama comes in, he's a customer, he wants to buy a pair of shoes. So she tries on a shoe, she ties it, she takes it off, tries on another shoe. She put it on. She didn't have kavana for chalitza. That kavana, they're trying on shoes. They're going to see which shoe looks nice and which shoe fits and shine. So she's not going to be materially hinasei lashuk. So that's a bit. The chalitza is only valid if you had kavana shnei. Both the yovam and the yavama had kavana. That's a famous tshuva nachacham tzvi, tshuva aleph. What kavana are you supposed to have? So one possibility is that chalitza is a mitzvah. It's called Mitzvah's Chalitza. That's the name of the perek. And we said over the Tosfos writes in the end of Maseches Nida that you only can have a lechatchila deraisa that's not me'akeh b'di'eved if you're dealing with a mitzvah. So you have a mitzvah b'shlei musa if you do it like this. If you do, you're missing part of the mitzvah. You know, it's a mitzvah shelo b'shlei musa. So Chalitza is a mitzvah, not just a matir, it's a mitzvah. So lechatchila you need Chalitza and you need rikike and you need the kriyas ha'psukim. And by the other, if you just did the chalitza sasan, you didn't do the kriyas apsukin, you didn't do the rikikas, so by the other, you're in the mitzvah shalom b'shlein musa. Let's say bring a korban chatos, and chatos is supposed to do four zrikas in the four corners of the mizbech. And by the other, we pass on like basil. If you did one zrika, so by the other, you're in the mitzvah shalom b'shlein musa. You have a lot of mitzvahs like that. The chatos and the mitzvah b'shlein musa is like this, and by the other, like that. So the chachman tzvi is not sure what actually is kavno. Is it because mitzvah sichas kavana? So the Yavam and Yavama both have to have kavana to fulfill a mitzvah. If they didn't have kavana, if they were thinking they're trying on shoes in the shoe store, and she works there, she's putting on the shoe, taking off the shoe, and so on. So there was no kavana l'shem mitzvah. So you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So you don't have the heter. Is that what it means? That she's kavana l'shem because mitzvah sichas kavana? That's how we paskin. The mitzvah, there's a machlekes hatanoi. With the mitzvah sichas kavana, there are two sugyas. There's a sugya in brachas, beginning of the second parak, regarding mitzvahs deraisa with the mitzvah sichas kavana, and then there's a sugya in arvei psochim, regarding morav bizmanazeh. Morav bizmanazeh is only the rabbanon, the Gemara says. Morav is only deraisa, bizman shabbes amigdush hayikai. Morav bizmanazeh is only the rabbanon. So the Gemara there has another machlekes satanan where the mitzvahs derabbanon tzvichas kavana. So this explains the two different sugyas, and there's room to distinguish. So how do we paskin l'alocha? So the Ramban paskins, and the Radvaz, the Magen Avraham didn't have the Ramban, he quotes the Radvaz, and the Tshuva paskin like that, a split. And mitzvah is the rice of tzichas kavana, and mitzvah is the Rabban, and ain't tzichas kavana. So chalitza is a mitzvah the rice, so you should say, you need kavana. So that's one side. Or you can say, if you don't have kavana, you're not yotzei the mitzvah, but it still could be that she's materis l'hinasi l'ashuk. They said they didn't realize that it's a mitzvah. He thought he's doing a favor. He didn't realize that this is one of the 613 mitzvahs to perform chalitza. He just knew if you do chalitza, she's metabis and nasi lashuk. So maybe the kavana means kavana's heter. He and she, the yavam and the yavama, both have to have kavana that by removing the shoe, by her removing the shoe from his right foot, she becomes metabis and nasi lashuk. So that's famous. Chacham Tzvi has the shayla. What exactly do you need over here? Kavana. What does meet kavana? It's not the same, let's say, when a couple gets married. See, it's not enough you have to have kavana, you have to have das. Because when you get married, that's considered a kinyan. Like if you buy karka, so the Maseches Kiddushin begins, so isha niknes. It's a kinyan. You make a kinyan kesef, you make a kinyan shtar, that's a kinyan. Just like how you coin a karka, how you coin a metalkam, how you coin an abedivri, how you coin an abedkanani. It's a whole series of mishnayos in the first pair. So isha niknas, what kinyan did they do? It's not a chalos kinyan. after he gets married, it's a maisi kinyan achalois ishus. He doesn't own his wife. Mashda doesn't even own his wife a kinyan isa. They're married. But the way to create the ishus is by making a maisi kinyan. So there you need das kinyan. So that's a din das kinyan. So a katan and a ktana before bar mitzvah, even if the child is a genius, and he's much more intelligent than the adults, al pidin halacha says that a katan is a la bar das. A katan can make kiddushin, a katan and ktana can make kiddushin, and they can give a get whenever you need das. By a get, you don't need das alisha, you just need das al bal. So the bal can't be a katan anyway. How did he ever get married in the first place? Okay.
Oh, das acheres, no?
What do you mean, das acheres?
Would you say das acheres to make a kinyan?
Whenever there's das acheres, if someone gives a gift to the katan, so that an adult gives a gift to the katan, so we pass on like that one opinion and test that the katan is kind of minatar. Whenever there's das acheres makna, you don't need das kinyan. So the tzais, the avdei meiluim, by the tzais is bothered with that kasha. What if the boy is 12 and a half and the girl is 12? So the girl is a gedol already. So she gives herself over in marriage to the boy. So it's a das acheres makna. So why can't the katan be mekadosh anisha min haTorah if the girl is a das acheres makna? She's a gedolah. He's older than her, but he doesn't become her mitzvah till he's 13. She's already a gedolah at the age of 12. So he says, no, that's not acceptable, because that's kiikach ishisha, kiikach v'lo kisilokach. If the whole kedushin is only hard because the girl is making das acheres makna, so it means that she created the issues. The halacha requires the kallah should be passive, and the chassan has to create the issues. Chassan has to have the das, and the chassan has to give the ring. You have to have nosan hu li omar hu. If you have nosna hi, omar hi, toignesh. So if you're going to say the das acheres makna of the kallah makes clinches the kedushin, so that's toignesh, that's a chisorin of kikach malot kisilokach. Yeah. But that's a strong kasha, that's a famous kasha. So the only two kavanas you can talk about over here, the sofik of the Chafen Tzvi, that you need she's kavan shneim, you need the yavam and ivama. It's a sofik, does mean kavana lotze tzidei choyves hamitz mitzvah is kavana. It's a mitzvah derais, you need kavana. And if you're not yotze in the mitzvah, then the heter doesn't set in. Well, no, maybe the heter sets in even if you didn't have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah. You weren't yotze if you didn't have kavanah. You never knew that there's such a mitzvah of chalitza. You never heard some mitzvah. You only know if the brother died, you do chalitza. She's permitted to remarry. No one ever realized that it's a mitzvah. Maybe they're not yotze the mitzvah because you need kavanah. But still, if you have kavanah lahatir, that's good enough. But you can't say that it's a kavanah. You see, a get is a kinyan. So the baal has to give a get. The baal has to be a bardas. If the husband, let's say, the husband got married years ago, and now he suffers from Alzheimer's. And he's not all there. He doesn't know what he's doing. So he's a labardas. He's a shaita. He's a labardas. So he can't be Megarish and Isha if he's a labardas. In order to give a get, you have to be a bardas, because a get is a kinyan. And Kedusha and Kedusha is also a kinyan. But chalitza is not a kinyan. Chalitza is not considered a kinyan. You don't need das for chalitza. The Mishnah is careful. The Mishnah uses a lashon, and you need kavanah, but you don't need das. That's why the Gemara says a cotton can't do chalitza is a separate gzeres hakosel. It says kochi also leish asher leivnes beisachiv. So the Gemara learns that ish prat lekotton, that a cotton cannot do chalitza. Why do you need a pasuk? Why don't you just say a cotton is a lab bardas? And the Yavama also makshin and ish is going to be a mishnah later. So just like the pasuk says kochi also leish ish prat lekotton, a cotton, let's say my brother died and he was 10 years older than me, and I'm only 12 years old, I'm not bar mitzvah yet. My brother was 22 years old. He was killed in the army. He was killed in a war in Eretz Yisrael, let's say. So the kotan can't do chalitza until he becomes bar mitzvah.
Rabbi, this matter of kavanah. Today, the Bezdin. Does the Bezdin tell the Yavam what this is all about?
Yes, they have to tell him.
That's the kavanah?
They educate and they say it's a mitzvah, and you have to have kavanah and lahatir. They tell him to have both kavanahs. They tell him to have both kavanahs. Because the Chacham Tzvi is mesupek, where this kavanah is kiyum a mitzvah, based on mitzvah, is kavanah is heter. So yeah, they tell them they're both in line. But it doesn't mean, it's not the same as das kinyan. It's not the same, because chalitza is not a kinyan. Chalitza is a din. You see, whenever you make a kinyan, if I'm a kaddish and isha, I created the kiddushin. Like if I own a house, I sell you the house. I sold you the house. So I have the right to make a tanai. I have the right to make a shliach. If I'm divorcing my wife, I'm making a kinyan. I'm a kabbish anisha, that's a kinyan. So if you're making a kinyan, you're das kinyan, so you can be matala tanai. You have the right to appoint a shliach. You're the bailam over here. By chalitza, you can't appoint a shliach. You're not a bailam on anything. You do this mitzvah of chalitza, and the Torah says that she becomes mentaris l'hinasei lashuv. But it's not with the power vested in you as the balabos over the case. You can be matah her. You're not a balabos over anything. The Torah says if you do chalitza, she becomes mataris. That's why Tosis in the beginning of Chulin, the first part of Chulin, is why they need a pasuk kochi asa leish ish part of cotton, that a cotton can't do chalitza. A cotton is a la badas. Of course, you can't do chalitza. So Tosis answers. Abchaim explains it by Richas, but Tosis he quotes it. Tosis answers chalitza doesn't need das. Chalitza needs kavana. A cotton is a bar hochi of kavana. Whenever you need das, a cotton al pidin doesn't have das, but kavana he can have. So that's why I need a separate pasuk to indicate that a cotton can do chalitza. Kocha yosalish ish part the cotton, and the yavama also, if she's a ketana, she can't do chalitza because there's a hekesh makshin and ishaliish. Just like the yavam has to be by mitzvah, so the yavama also has to be by mitzvah. And that tesis later is going to have two opinions whether that did. Makshin and ishaliish, that the Yavama has to be a gdaila. Let's say the father married his daughter off and she wasn't even bas mitzvah. Then the husband is killed in a war. The husband dies. So the Yavama, she's an eshes ishman atar, so she needs chalitza. So the Yavama has to be by mitzvah. That's a real din deraisa. Kochi osalish, ish pat bakotan. But the Yavama is based on makshin and ishaliish. That expression appears kufei amid beis. I just nished it now. Five lines from the top. It says, Makshin and Ishaliyish. There's a hekesh between the Yavam and the Yavama. So just like the Yavam has to be by mitzvah, the Yavama has to be bas mitzvah also. So Tosis has two girsas in the Mishnah. The top Tosis, that's really Tosis. Tosis has two girsas in the Mishnah. What is a big shas of chak? What if she did the chalitza when she was a ketana? And then the Yavam flew back, the brother died. And the Yavam, the brother-in-law, comes from Russia, and he comes to Sitchiv or whatever, and then he goes back, and he did chalitza when he was here, but the Yavama was a ketana. So now you say the chalitza was no good, and he has to repeat the chalitza. He's not going to come again. He blew in all of his money to come to the funeral. He can't afford to come again. It's lo bo b'cheshbon. Or they closed the gates, the iron curtain. They put the iron curtain. You can't get out of Russia. And Yetzilei Nichnas. So if you have a big shas atchak, would you rely on the chalitza of ketana? So Tosis has 2 days. Whether that din that you require that the isha, the yavama, should be a gdoila, is that a real din deraisa? You can't budge. Or is it only a chumra midrabanan lachatchila hecha deefshe? But hecha deefshe, if you have a big shas atchak, maybe you can be mekel on that. So the shaila is, but if you need that, she's kavan shneim. You have to have kavan shneim. So kot nektana la bar das. So the answer is la bar das is they can't have das bailam. Here it's not a vort of das. Here it's a vort of kavana. A kot nektana can have kavana. You have to explain to them what it is, so they can have kavana. So I call upon him. That's the din. That's a brisa. The Gemara quotes the brisa over here on kuf base on the base.
You can do yibum with a ketana,
but you can't do chalitza. Correct. You can do yibum, but you can't do chalitza. And that's the shayla. You can't do chalitza. Is that really min haTorah? You can't budge. There are no two ways about it. Or maybe it's only min the rabbana makshin initially ish. But the yadid b'shas hatchagol. So Tosis has 1 day, and then maybe you can be mekal on that. Inshallah, aloha, out of paskin.
Be the same thing if the
Yom
dies.
Would it
should be
Mutarat Lukayan
or not?
Okay, correct. So that's one din. You need Achiz Kav. Then there's another din of Reach Haget. Reach Haget is a Mishnah in Gittin. There's a Pasuk in Chumash that says a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. So it says, Isha Grusha Neisha Lo Yikochu, beginning of Parsha Samor. So the Tanoim were bothered with the expression Isha Grusha Me Isha. The woman wants divorce from her husband. Me Isha Me Isha Lo. They should say Isha Grusha Lo Yikachu. A Kohen couldn't marry Grusha. Who then is going to give her the get other than her husband? The only one who can get is Asim. So what is it right? Isha Gusha. Me Isha Lai Kachu. So Shtein Isha Gusha Lai Kachu. So the Tanoim say, Afil Alon is Gasha Ela Me Isha. The husband gives a get to his wife and he says, Hare Mugreshes Me Meni. I'm not going to support you anymore. I'm not going to live with you anymore. The Iyat Mataris Lushum Adam. But the get should not allow you to remarry anybody else. So that's a garnish. That's not a get. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says, if a Kohen, if he was a Kohen, and he gives his wife such a kooky get, so it smells like a get. So the Mishnah has an expression, it's a reach get. Since it looks like a get, it smells like a get, so if the husband is a Kohen, he's not allowed it. Now he has to ask, give her a get. But he's not allowed to live with the wife, because she's isha grusha me'isha. He gave her a get only to sever his relations with her. He's not going to be supporting her anymore. He's not going to be living with her. But he doesn't allow her to marry anybody else. It's not a valid get. But a reach get asas lakuna. So the Rambam writes that it's only a din with the Rabbana. Sounds like a din with the Rabbana. And the Magid Mishnah says, what do you mean? But the Tanoim learned that from a pasuk. It's a din d'oraisa. Shagazari has tshuvas. Shagazari's tshuvas. Nobody ever asked him the shailas. When is Osman Kriyashma? What do you mean? Look at the Gemara. That's not a shaila. So the Shagazari's tshuvas whenever he asked. So he has a tshuva. Who's right? The Rambam and the Magid Mishnah. He thinks that the Magid Mishnah is right. He sides with it. He thinks that Reich Haget is a din d'oraisa. So Rabbi Chana Vassman has a whole sefer on Yevamos, Kovetz Haaretz. So he raises a possibility that just like there is a din d'oraisa of a reach haget, so too maybe there's such a din like a reach chalitza. Once the yavam does chalitza, he's not allowed to do yibum. That's how the Gemara learns out in the pasuk. After you finish the chalitza, so everybody says, "Kach yasa lish asher lo yivne is beisachiv." How do you know? You should say, "Kach yasa asher lo bona is beisachiv." He refused to marry the yavama. How do you know lo yivne? How do you know he's not going to do in the future? How can you predict the future? The Gemara says, no, you see from the fact that the pasuk uses the future tense, kevish alabana shuv lo yivne. Once he does chalitza, he's not allowed to do yibum. So what if he did a chalitza, psula? He did a chalitza that's not a valid chalitza. It wasn't a valid chalitza to be mati yivama. Maybe it's like a rare chalitza. Just like there's a din, possibly a din deraisa, Shagasai holds like the Magad Mishnah, the Reach Haget is a real din deraisa. Maybe there's such a din deraisa, or at least a din derabanan, of a chalitza psula. So if, let's say, if the Yavama takes off the sack from the Yavam, does a garnish be garnish? The sack is not Megan, doesn't protect the foot, that's nothing. That doesn't count. But let's say they did the chalitza on the left foot. So maybe there was a real chalitza. Let's say they did a chalitza with a wooden shoe or a pair of sneakers. It is Megan. So you can't say he didn't do anything. It's not up to par. So maybe if you did something that's almost up to par, it's almost a chalitza, maybe it's not a chalitza to be matta the yivamali nasa lashuk, but maybe it's enough of a chalitza to declare kivin shalabana shuv layivna. Maybe it's even on the level of the raisa, Rabbi Chana Basman suggests. Maybe just like there's such a concept by the get, there's a reach haget the raisa, according to the Magid Mishnah and the Shagazari, maybe there's such a dinam chalitza psula. So that's where the Gemara has two opinions over here. What if the Yavam went to the shoe store and the Yavama is selling shoes? And she put on the shoes and she took the shoes, put on the shoes, took off the shoes. Nobody had kavana lahatir. Nobody had kavana l'shein mitzvah, nobody had kavana lahatir. But sof kol sof, she did the chalitza. She took off a leather shoe from the right foot of the Yavam. So does that make it impossible to do yibum? So that's what we're going to learn in Gemara. We'll have to continue next week.
What would that be called reach haget? You look at the context. It's in a shoe store, so obviously it doesn't have a chalitza. The whole context is a sale, nothing to do with the chalitza.
Clearly they didn't have kavanah, and the din is it's only mutaris le'nasa al-shuk, how she's kavanah shneim, then maybe it's still the ma'isa, she did a chalitza on him without kavanah. So if you're lacking kavanah, it's not going to be the heter le'nasa al-shuk. Then maybe it is called a chalitza to puzzle her that you're not allowed to perform yibum. So that's what the Gemara is going to have a machlokes. Okay. That's, you hold like that, Lashon, in the Gemara.
If he's the only brother, then she's going to be a mazuna. If he's the only surviving brother,
yeah. No, they'll do the chalitza again. Do a chalitza. The first chalitza was not good. Do another chalitza. But maybe it prevents her from performing evil. Because once you do chalitza, you can't do evil. We have a Mishnah in Shavuos. And sometimes you have the Shavuos HaDayonim. The Bezdin insists that you have a Din Torah. Bezdin insists that the fellow has to swear in order to be potter from pay. If he's made a mitzvah, so Shavuos HaRechod, or Shavuos HaShemrim. So those are Gilgal Shavuos. So you have Shavuos, that is Shavuos Deraisa. Nishba v'niftar. So the Mishnah says in Shavuos, whenever you make the person swear, he has to hold on to a Sefer Torah. That's called Nikitas Chayfetz. When the witnesses come to testify, there's no din they have to put their hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Tosfos has a raya. Tosfos on the first daf in the second parak in Kedushin has a raya that if the Eidim only have the monis, if they swear, then they're posulatus. It cannot be that the Eidim have to swear in order to be nemonim. If they have to swear, then they're not believing. But in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the meaning of the Rif. The Rif had a business for many years in Fez. Al-Fasi lived in Fez. So the meaning of the Rif was that they always had the witnesses swear before they gave testimony. You don't have to hold on to the Sefer Torah. You put your hand on a Sefer Torah. You put your hand on a Bible and you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So that's Nikitas Chayfetz. Gemara says you should really hold on to a Sefer Torah, and if it's a Talmid Chacham who's swearing the Shavuos HaDayanim, he can hold on to a pair of tefillin also. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, they had no Sefer Torah, they had no tefillin. So the only mitzvah Avraham Avinu had over and above the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach was he had the Bris Milah. So he tells his Eved, Eliezer Eved Avraham, Sim Leyot Chatach HaSirechi, I want you to, you're not holding on to his Bris Milah, he's holding on to his leg, but it's indirectly he's holding on to the Chefetz Shal Mitzvah. I want you to swear Benikitas Chefetz. So why is this like a Shavuos HaDayanim? We only need Nikitas Chayim by Shavuos HaDayanim, because when the Bezdin is Mashbiyah, you want that to be the most serious form of a Shavuos. If you have him swear with that in Nikitas Chayfetz, the whole Shavuos is not valid. You need Dafkim in Nikitas Chayfetz. It's a Toi Bet Mishnah. If the Bezdin was Mashbiyah with that Nikitas Chayfetz, the Gemara says the Shavuos has the status of a Toi Bet Mishnah. So what was so serious over here that Avraham Avinu wants that Eliezer should swear Benikitas Chayfetz? So the Mefarshim explain, I think, that the Obis somehow had Ruach HaKodesh over here, that this is going to be, they're the founding fathers of the Jewish nation. And it has to be, it's not enough, you have Obis, you have to have Imoz. So you have to have Imoz, the right woman. And if Eliezer is going to pick the wrong Shidduch for Avraham, it's going to ruin the whole Klal Yisrael. So this is like this shvua that you make sure you get the right shidduch for Yitzchak, because this is going to perpetuate the Jewish people. Yitzchak and his son Yaakov, they're going to be the founders of this new nation. So this is like a shvua that's negated to the whole future of Klal Yisrael. So this is like a shvuas adayan that you need in a kitas chayfetz. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik before Rosh Hashanah, always used to learn Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur, he used to learn Yuma in class. So I remember he was once learning Mishnayis Yuma. So the Mishnah says that the Bezdin used to be Mashbir the Kain Gadol, that he shouldn't be Mishana, because the Tzitzukin didn't follow the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh, how to do the Avodah on Yom Kippurim, and they used to do it differently. So the Bezdin HaGadol would send a Shliach to be Mashbir the Kain Gadol, he shouldn't be Mishana, and he shouldn't change anything. So you get the impression from the Mishnah as if they have the right to force the Shvua on the Kain Gadol. It doesn't say that he answers Amen. The Mefarshim put that. Doesn't say that he answers Amen. Sometimes the Mishnah have, sometimes it's Mujbam Piacher. Sometimes the other party, the other Baldin has a right to force a Shavua on you, even though you don't accept the Shavua. So Leitchik said, he thinks that that's the din over there, because the Avodas Yom Kippurim, Dabbani Kain Gadol, is going to give Kapor to all of Klal Yisrael. So it's the most serious Shavua, because he's doing Avodah on behalf of everybody. So the Bezdin HaGadol, who are in charge of all the Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash, their office, the Lishkas HaGadol is in the Beis HaMikdash, and that it's their responsibility to be on the tail of the Kohanim when they're makar over the Karbonis. That's what the Gemara says, Kohanim is reason hey. Kohanim at the Beis HaMikdash are always very careful. Why are they so careful? The Rashi says, because the Bezdin HaGadol is on their tail. They always have members of the Bezdin HaGadol. Not Kohanim are always reason. When the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash are there, and they have their Bezdin HaGadol there, so then there's reason. That's what Rashi writes himself. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that since the Avodas Yom Kippurim brings Kapara to all of Klal Yisrael, so the Bezdin HaGadol has the right to force the Shavua on the Kohen Gadol, because the avodah that he's going to do is going to be negated to everybody. So here also, the shua that Avraham Avinu had Eliezer take, this was a shua that was negated to the whole founding of the Jewish people. If Yitzchak is going to marry the wrong girl, he's going to ruin the whole Klal Yisrael. So that's why he felt that he needed an Akitas Chefetz. And you learn out from this pasuk that whenever Bezdin administers a shua sadayan, we always need an Akitas Chefetz. It's considered the highest level of a shua. Oh, next week I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no shia next week, unless you get up. And the week after I'll be back. Ready to get myself.
It's a Kenyan star that he breaks the issues.
That's
like when
Kenyan
star. Star is a
Kenyan. He's giving her the star.
Right. It's a Kenyan to break the issues. Same thing the marriage. It's a Kenyan castle, a Kenyan star to create issues. It doesn't create a Kenyan. Okay. Maybe that's why I want to get
right. The best thing has two sides to show.
And I knew there wouldn't be a second chance.
You want to call that?